stand with me this morning? Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. While you're turning there, it wasn't really clear. What I said wasn't clear. Daniel was very clear this morning. We have a sign-up sheet for the missions banquet. And we just want to be a good steward of the finances of the Lord and know how many to prepare for. And it's going to have a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. So I want to encourage you to sign up. Be careful what you're signing up for. Ain't no telling what you're signing up for out there. There's a lot of sign-up. There's a lot of things going on. Can you say amen? Amen. Psalms 51, have you found it? Say amen. Verse 10. Create in me, say in me, a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then, say then, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. I want us to look at the subject of the product of repentance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for hearts that have already been turned toward you this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are already working and moving in a mighty way. Lord, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God, Lord, anoint me your servant to speak what you've laid upon our heart, but God, help us to see that it's more than about the greatest thing we can do is give our hearts and our lives to you, become born again and be saved. But Lord, it doesn't just stop with that. We need to tell others so they can become born again and be saved as well. Lord, help us this morning. Let our hearts and our minds continue to be open and receptive. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the path of repentance. And we looked at King David as a perfect example. Many of us know how David had fell, and just very quickly going to do a recap. David had rose to the kingship and he is now king. And instead of going out to battle when he should have been out to battle, he is sitting at home on top of his palace. And because of his palace is on a very high hill, he looks down and sees a woman bathing. She's very beautiful to look upon. But as he looks at her, he begins to lust after her. And because he's a man of authority, he calls and asks who this woman is. And his servants say, this is Bathsheba, the son of Uriah, the Hittite, your servant. He calls her to himself. They have relations. He sends her away. She sends him back word a few weeks later that she's expecting. David then tries to cover up his sin. He says, I'll just call Uriah home from the battle. But Uriah, when he called him home, would not go to his house, but he slept at the king's gate. This happened for two nights in a row. Then David, through a series of events, had Uriah killed in battle by his servant Joab. So now he's committed murder. She conceives, and David brings her into his house to be his wife. David gets by with it a whole year. He's going through the motions of everything. But how many of you know you can't outrun God? Amen. The scripture says, be sure your sins will find you out, whether it be David then or you and I today. But God in his love and his mercy and his grace sent Nathan the prophet to confront him, and Nathan did. And David began to cry out for repentance. And it was that cry that we looked at last week, that path of repentance that David began to come back to, that where he got back in right relationship with the Lord. We looked at last week that there were two parts to repentance, on the path to repentance. Our part and God's part. David cried out for God's mercy. He acknowledged his sin. He didn't try to sweep it under the rug. He didn't try to blame somebody else. He acknowledged his sin. Then he confessed his sin. He asked for God's forgiveness and asked for God's cleansing. But that's as far as David could go. He did everything he knew to do. But then it was time for God to do his part. God created in him a clean heart. God renewed a right spirit within him. God restored his joy within David's heart. He upheld him by his Holy Spirit. And he blotted and cleansed and washed away his sin. This was the path, the path of repentance that brought David back into right relationship with God. But how many of you know the path of repentance doesn't stop at a dead end? It's an ongoing journey. Where did David go from there after his relationship with the Lord was restored? What was the product? What did it produce through his repentance and coming back to the Lord? It produced the same thing that should be produced in you and I after we have come back to the Lord, or after we have become born again, or as well as in our daily walk. The desire to share our faith, to share with others what the Lord has done for us as well as within us. That was the product of repentance that was produced within the heart of David. And that's what we must have produced in our hearts and our lives as well. It's every Christian's responsibility. Touch your neighbor, say, it's all of our responsibility. Let's look at the product of repentance. Verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. In other words, once David says, once I've come back to right relationship, Lord, then I'm going to teach others what God has done for me. How? He says, I will teach, I will instruct, I will show, I will help others to learn that there is hope, that there is joy, there is peace, there is restoration, there is a renewing of our relationship with God. Notice David mentions two different groups. He said, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Is there a difference? Yes. Transgressors are those who once knew the Lord, but had fallen away. I'm going to say that again. Transgressors are those who once knew the Lord, but had fallen away. Did David know the Lord before he fell away? Absolutely. But somewhere along the line, let me tell you where David's problem started. David's problem started long before he ever got up on the roof. David's problem started long before he ever got up on the roof that day. Somewhere, sometime before David ever walked up on the roof that day, he became slack in his walk with God. He became slack in his time of prayer. David was a man of worship. David became slack in his worship with the Lord. David became slack in his relationship with the Lord. He became complacent and possibly a little lifted up with pride. And when that begins to happen, you better look out. Two things are going to hit you: your flesh or the enemy. And because of his complacency, when he was up on the roof, there came a perfect opportunity for him to fall. But it happened before he ever got up on the roof. Can you say amen? See, when I talked about transgression, the first thing that David cried out for in Psalm 51, verse 1, it's not up there, Sister Sylvia. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. See, we're not dealing with one sin. There were a whole list of sins. He said, blot out my transgressions. Lord, help me get back to where I need to be. But in first, before I can get back to where I need to be, I need to get all this other junk out of my way that I let in. Amen. Lord, blot out my transgressions. Can you say amen? Amen? He says, I will teach transgressors your ways. Those who had once known the Lord had fallen away. And sinners shall be converted unto you. Those who had never known or had an encounter with the Lord. David is going to share with them the ways of the Lord. Why? How? Because he had just experienced them for himself. He had just experienced the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, the restoration of his fellowship with the Lord. He says, I want to tell everybody what I've experienced. Even though I fell, even though I blew it, even though I made a tremendous mistake, even though I had many sins, even though they were tremendous, hideous sins, God in his love and his mercy and his grace forgave me and cleansed me and restored me back. I don't understand grace like that, church. I don't understand forgiveness like that. I don't understand love like that. But my Bible tells me I don't have to understand it. I don't have to be able to figure it out. All I can do is receive it and accept it by faith. Can you say amen? I'm so glad the same love, the same mercy, the same grace, the same goodness, the same forgiveness, the same longing and long suffering that God showed to David, he still shows for you and I today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? That's the product of true repentance. That he desired to tell others who may have blown it or who may have been searching for true peace that there is hope, there is help, there is some way through the mess of our mistakes and our sins and our failures. And it can only come when we have a genuine encounter with the Lord or when we come back to the Lord. Our God is more than able and willing to save, forgive, to heal, to set free and deliver us from the things that we have allowed to drag us down and caused us to stumble, and then restore us back to right relationship with him. Who better to share the love of God and the ways of God than someone who's experienced it for themselves, as David did and as we must do as well? That's what the Lord exactly has called each and every one of you and I as believers to do. Once we are in right relationship with the Lord, note, I want you to listen to this. Before we can truly lead others to Christ, we must be in right relationships with the Lord ourselves. Think about what David said. Let's look at that. Go back to verse 10. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit, Lord." Where? In me. "Don't cast me away from your presence, God. Don't throw me away. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your gracious spirit." What's David saying? Before he can ever tell somebody else about the Lord, he says, "God, you've got to give me an overhaul. I've got to get an overhaul because I'm ugly and undone. Lord, create in me, renew in me. Don't take your spirit away from me. God, I've got to have you and nothing else." Can you say amen? See, that's part of David's part and our part. God's part. David says, "God, all I can do is confess it and lay it at your feet. But God, only you can create in me a clean heart. Only you can renew in me a right spirit. Only you can, Lord, only your Holy Spirit within my life can give me life again." I wish folks could get a hold of that today. We are so self-sufficient and so full of pride and arrogance in America today. There's churches having church and they can do it with tremendous talent and excellence. But God's nowhere around because we think we can handle it on our own. Amen. Friends, unless God shows up, unless God comes in and creates, unless God renews, unless God's Holy Spirit is there, then we're just having a meeting. But oh, if his Holy Spirit is there, if he is creating, if he is renewing, if he is restoring, if he is upholding, then there's no limit to what God can and will do if we'll allow him to. Can you say amen? Are you with me this morning? He says, "Do all that in me, then I will teach transgressors thy way." The Lord not only desires that we follow the path of repentance, but also that we produce the product of repentance, sharing our faith with others. You and I, turn to your neighbor and say, "Listen to this, you need this." Boy, I'm glad y'all thought that's funny. That's good, amen. After salvation and restoration, you and I are God's greatest resource to building his kingdom. You and I, you especially in the pew, are greatest tool for sharing and building the kingdom of God, for leading others to the Lord. I want us to look at some statistics. Several thousand Christians were asked this question: whom or what was primarily responsible for your conversion to Christ? This stays the same across the board. I've studied this many, many times. I've shared this a few times. Who or what was primarily responsible for your conversion to Christ? An evangelistic crusade, 0.5%, half a percent. Wow. A visitation, 1 to 2%. A special need, 1 or 2%. Walk in, 2 to 3%. Somebody just feels led to come in and they walk in the church. 2 to 3%. A church program. Wow. 2 to 3%. Same thing. And it bumps up. I like this part, but it bumps up a little bit. Who or what was primarily responsible for your conversion to Christ? Sunday school. Say Sunday school. 4 to 5%. This is, you know, kind of gets on my pride, little issue. The pastor, 5 to 10%. It says 6%, but I'm going to bump up a little bit. You preach it, you say what you want to. Amen. But a friend or relative, 75 to 90% are responsible for bringing someone to the Lord, leading someone to the Lord. That's an amazing fact. That's an amazing statistic. In other words, out of all those who come to Christ, over 75 to 90% were influenced by a friend or relative who told them about Jesus. You are God's greatest resource after salvation and restoration to building the kingdom of God and leading others to the Lord. One-on-one evangelism, that word evangelism means witnessing, contact, soul winning, is the greatest tool that the Lord uses. One-on-one evangelism. I've shared this many times before. I want us to get it in our noggin. That out of 37 to 39 miracles that were recorded that Jesus did, how many of them were actually done inside the temple? Two. The rest of them were meeting people at their point of need. One-on-one evangelism. I don't believe it's in there by accident. I believe the Lord is trying to tell us something. That, hey, it's out there in the highways and the byways in your everyday walk of life where you can have the greatest impact. There are some folks that will never walk through the doors of this church unless somebody reaches us in the doors of Walmart, or unless somebody reaches out to them in the doors of the hospital, unless somebody reaches out to them in the doors of the funeral home, in the doors of a restaurant. Nobody, they'll never walk in this house until somebody touches base with them out yonder. Can you say amen? Come on, somebody. That's what the Great Commission is all about. It's not a great omission, but it's the Great Commission. Yes. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. You say, well, that's the pastor's job. No, a pastor's only doing 5 to 10%. Boy. But it says, you go. Therefore, make disciples, make followers. Show others how to come to the Lord, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's not the great suggestion, but it's the great commission. It's the great commandment. Now, how do we do that? I know I've got to hurry this morning. We got to follow David's example. Tell what the Lord has done for you. Sharing our faith, sharing our conversion experience, but mostly sharing the love and the mercy and the grace and the power and the restoration that the Lord has accomplished in your life. Let me tell you where I was at. Let me tell you how God brought me out. Let me tell you how God forgave me and cleansed me and washed me. Can you say amen? Not only those we know, but also those we don't know, as the Lord gives us opportunity. Let me share with you about something about that. It's not going to always be at the most convenient time for you to go. It will probably mess up your schedule. It will probably mess up your plans. It will probably interfere with what you've got going on. But sometimes we've got to lay aside temporary plans and get involved in the eternal purposes of what God would have us to do. Whether we recognize them or not, you never know what God will bring across your path on a day-to-day basis. Come on, somebody. But God is merciful. Can you say amen? Amen. Not only for those we know, but also we don't know, as the Lord gives us opportunity. As we are in right relationship with the Lord, we must be ready to share our faith. What the Lord has done for us is well within us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always, say always, Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The word sanctify means purify, make holy. God's not the one to have be made holy. We've got to make sure that our hearts are right. Can you say amen? That we may always be ready to give an answer to those who ask us of the question. And they may not wait and ask us when they're here in the church house. They may ask you on the job or at school or at work or if you're shopping around, whatever you're doing, can you say amen? How do we share our faith? How do we share the product of repentance? Well, the greatest way is through our lifestyle. The way we live and conduct our lives on a daily basis. Your life speaks louder than words. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Though repentance happens within the heart, what it produces will be revealed in the outside actions, in our lives, in our actions, in our attitude. Francis of Assisi said this very powerful statement. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Your daily life is the most known message you will preach or teach to others. I've shared this many times before, and I've held on to it. Your actions speak so loud that I cannot hear what you're saying. Now, that can be very good, or that can be very bad. My question to us here this morning is, what is your life telling or showing others about your walk with Christ? What is your life telling or showing others about your walk with Christ? Our life. We tell others, we can witness to others through personal acts of kindness, helping someone in time of need. As you've heard this said, many won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thought about this scripture, and it's not up there, Sister Sylvie. She hates when I do that. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? This also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. One of the things I noticed in the video while the ensemble was singing, they were handing out care packages. They were handing out, and it might have been some forms of food. It might have been some forms of personal hygiene. It might have been something for them to have that will help them. You say, what are we doing? What happens when you do that? What you're doing, you say, I'll care about you enough. I want to give you something to help you, and you are opening a door for them to be able to receive something greater from you. That whole deal with the water, where we're drilling wells. It's kind of like Scotty put, we're giving them the physical water, but that opens, notice again where it's going to be drilled at. It's going to be drilled at right by the property of the church. It's opening the well. It's opening the door, not only for them to receive the physical water with those they so desperately need, but it's opening the door that they can receive the spiritual water that they really desperately need. Can you say amen? Amen. Brother Kip, I saw something. I saw something, and it never had registered from me before. We're all aware of the great escape that people in countries are doing that are oppressed through war and dictatorship. They're leaving their homelands by the thousands. They're running away. What are they looking for? They're looking for peace. They're looking for freedom. And they're running. They're pulling up everything. They're leaving everything they have to get to a place where they can find freedom and peace and safety. They are doing that in the physical. How much more do we need to do that in the spiritual? We need to run away from everything that's robbing us of our peace, that's warring us against our souls, that's stealing everything and tearing down everything we have, and run to the place where there is peace, where there is safety, where there is hope, where there is help, where there is life and water and food in the spiritual sense. Can you say amen? And that place is only found one place, in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
But most people would rather sit in their war-torn hearts and minds than escape to find the freedom that only Jesus can give. Jesus said, man, here's the difference. He said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I'm just kind of going with this. Donald Trump bombed Syria to get him to back off, killing innocents. Why do we spend so much time on worship? Why do we spend so much time on praise? Why do we spend so much time on prayer? Why do we spend so much time on preaching? We're bombing the enemy's camp.
That's right.
Trying to help people find freedom. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Bombing it with the word of God. Yes. Bombing it with praise. Bombing it with worship.
Amen.
Trying to get the enemy to back off. Can you say amen?
Right.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yes.
We do personal acts of kindness. Many times it was when Christ met the people at their point of need that opened up the opportunity to share the good news. Share your testimony as well as the word of God with people. Very powerful, very powerful. Two things people can't refute or change. They may argue, they may try to discredit. They can't change or refute your experience, what God has done for you. It's yours. And they cannot change the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They can't change your experience, and they can't change the word of God. That's the main things we need to be sharing about our faith. Can you say amen? Invite them to church. Begin building a relationship with them. But we must all be ready to share, to teach, to act as you minister to others. Who do we reach out to? What kind of people do we reach out to? In our text, there's basically three types of people. And basically, everyone falls into one of these three groups. Psalms 51 verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. David's in right relationship. He says, then I. Share your testimony with those who know the Lord. Just because we know the Lord doesn't mean, and somebody's in right relationship, doesn't necessarily mean that we've had a great day. Amen. How many of you know that there are times when we as Christians struggle, that we face real challenges, real trials. And it's awesome when we have a brother or sister come alongside and say, hey, I noticed you're going through a trial. Let me share you how God brought me out of something very similar. So let me share with you how God in his love and his mercy helped me. I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. God laid you heavily on my heart, and I'm lifting you up before the Lord. I see what you're going through, and you're not going to go through this alone, because whatever I can do to help you, whatever I can do to lift you up, whatever I can do to assist you, with God's help, we're going to get through this together. Can you say amen? We are accountable to one another. The Bible says that we are to pray for one another that we may be healed. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you need somebody to pray for your pastor. He needs it. Don't say amen, honey. His wife needs it. Amen. Really pray for her. Who do you reach out to? Transgressors. Again, that word transgressor means to rebel, to transgress, to violate a command or law, to go beyond a boundary or limit. People that have gone beyond their walk with the Lord. Why is it so important to reach out to them? We need to let them know that God can and will forgive them. That God's not done with them. That God's not through with them. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You can't return to someone unless you have first been there. We got to let them know that, hey, you can. God is not through with you. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. You can be restored to right relationship with the Lord. Can I tell you, I've been in this. Had a couple of milestones in April. It's always a month of milestones. On the 2nd, Donna and I celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary. Hallelujah. On the 5th, I finished my 15th year here. And on the 6th, I started my 16th year here. Y'all put up with this old boy a long time. Thank you so much. But on the 13th, I give God the glory. On the 13th, I started my 25th year in full-time ministry. And in 25 years of full-time ministry, some of the hardest people to lead back to the Lord is those who have walked with the Lord before and have fallen away. Because number one, they're self-guilt. They're full of self-guilt. Well, I don't think God will ever forgive me. Boy, then the enemy throws that guilt, piles it on even deeper. We've got to tell them God can forgive you. God does love you. God is not through with you. Can you say amen? Amen. We need to do that to help save a soul from death, both physically and spiritually. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 says, brethren, say brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. You can't wander from something unless you've already been there. Amen. It's talking about somebody that backslides. Now that kind of throws a big hole in once in the grace, always in grace. God will no wise cast you out, but you can wander away. But when we see a brother and sister who has wandered away, our job is to not point finger and be judgmental. Our job is to reach out in love and mercy and prayer and do our very best to help them wander back in. Can you say amen? You're not going to condemn someone back to God. The only way that's going to do it is you're going to love them back. Love them back. Love them back. Because guess what? It could be you next week. You couldn't have told David that morning before when he woke up that he was going to be in such a backslidden state by that afternoon. But it didn't take him long to figure it out. We've got to help others come back to the Lord. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Luke chapter 22, verse 32, he says, telling Peter when Peter denied him three times. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Just as David says, Lord, when I come back, I'm going to teach transgressors your ways. Jesus told Peter, said, Peter, when you come back, he said, I want you to strengthen your brethren. You know what that tells me? Not only is he going to let Peter come back, but he's going to use him to help encourage his brethren. In other words, he said, I'm not through with you for salvation, and I'm not through with you, listen to me, for service. I've still got a work for you to do. Can you say amen? Are y'all still with me? The third group is sinners. Those who have never known the Lord before. That's who we're to reach out to. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Share the gospel with them. Share your experience. Share the word. Well, let me give you, it's as easy as ABC. Write these three things down very quickly. Also known as ABCs to salvation. Number one, admit that you're a sinner and are in need of a Savior. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We're all sinners, except when we get saved. Number two, believe in Jesus Christ and the price he paid for your sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And see, confess. Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. ABCs of salvation is a cute little gospel, very powerful evangelism tool. You can use the Roman road. You can use the ABCs of salvation, but whatever, we got to use something. Can you say amen? Amen? And two experiences, again, that you can't refute. Number one, the word of God, and number two, the experience of how God touched your life. Can you say amen? And if you have the opportunity to pray with them to receive Christ, David said, and sinners shall be converted unto you. How do we pray with somebody? Oh, it's real difficult. Have them pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sin. Help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. I give you my heart, my life, my all. Thank you for loving me and not giving up on me. Amen. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't believe it's that simple. I believe that it is. I done prayed with too many folks. I've done seen a life-changing transformation. I was busy last Thursday. Had umpteen jillion things to do Thursday a week ago. And got a phone call. Lady in the church said, my brother is dying. I have tried to share the gospel with him numerous times, and he has shut me out every time. He just would not respond. Would you please go try to talk to him? Never had met him. Never had been around him. Those things, you're either going to have a miracle or a mess. Now, to say I felt all inspired in the anointing of God, I didn't. Walked into an ICU at Southeast Medical Center. Mary Lois talked to her brother. Told him why we was here. His eyes opened, he became cognizant, and he was able to speak. And we began to talk about the Lord and what God had in store for him. That God was a God of love, mercy, and grace, and could forgive him of his sins. I told him there's a lot of folks that don't believe in a deathbed confession, but the first convert Jesus had was on Calvary's tree. Guy hanging out right beside him that only had hours to live. That man prayed and gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And squeezed my hand about off. But when we got through praying, we began visiting a little bit more. Before I left, he said, "Preacher, thank you for taking time to pray with me."
Amen.
He died the next day. And I did the funeral last Wednesday. That's too close. But that shows you the love and the mercy of God. There's nothing I had Thursday was more important than being at Southeast Medical Hospital for that 15 minutes. Not for me, especially not for him. And it wasn't about me at all. I say that to say this, not to pin any roses on me. I say that to say this. God brings you across people's paths every day that need to hear about Jesus. They may know Jesus, they may know about him, they just may be away from him, but they need to hear that there's still hope in Jesus, that he has not given up on them, that he has not forgotten about them, that he will forgive them and cleanse them. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not through. Can you say amen? It's all about souls for the kingdom. That's why we must share our faith. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Why do we share our faith or share the product of our repentance? Number one, Jesus is coming back soon. Number two, he's commanded us to. Number three, those who are backslidden and lost have no other hope but through Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way. I know folks call us narrow-minded, but Jesus is the only way, church. I didn't take time to explain to him about the 16 tenets of faith of the Assemblies of God, or the four spiritual laws, foundations of the Assemblies of God, or what our church doctrine is. We don't have time for that at that point. It's time to, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted his shed blood for the sacrifice of your sins? Do you believe that he died and rose from the grave? Are you ready to meet him should he come today? He loves you and he cares for you, has better things in store. Can you say amen? Number four, you and I are going to have to give an account before the Lord one day about the products of our repentance or the lack of them. And there's only going to be two responses. Matthew 25, verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a very few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of our Lord." If we've been sharing our faith, we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if we have not, we better realize it. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32, 32 is a positive, but 33 is not. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven." If we confess him before men here, he'll confess us before our Father up there. Hello. Yes. But, there's that three-letter word. "Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. See, if we don't share the goodness of the gospel, if we don't share the goodness of God's love and his mercy and grace, that's in essence, we are denying the Lord. We're denying the Lord the opportunity to work in and through our lives to tell others. You say, "Well, what if they reject me?" They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Father. Amen. "What if they laugh at me?" So what? They laughed at Jesus. You're not here. You can't save anybody. You're not the one that does the saving. We are just seed planters. But we are called to plant those seeds of God's love and those seeds of God's mercy to tell someone else about the Lord. Statistics show, and I'm not big in statistics a lot of times, but this is a good one, that it takes an average of 7 other people to share their faith or their experience with one person in order for them to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. 7 different encounters with people sharing their faith. You don't know. You may be number 7th, or you may be number 1, or you may be somewhere in between, but we need to be part of that 7. Can you say amen? We need to be sharing our faith, because guess what? One of these days, you and I both will stand before an almighty, all holy, all knowing God and are going to have to give an account why I did share my faith or why I didn't share my faith. Why I didn't share his love or why I did share his love. Why I did share about his goodness and all the things he's done for me or why I didn't share. And friends, I don't want to stand on the wrong side that day. Jesus said, "Many will stand before me on that day and said, Lord, when have I eaten and drunk in your presence? When did I see you naked and alone? When did I see you in jail? When did I see you hungry?" And Jesus will say, "Inasmuch as you did not do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it unto me." I don't want to be standing in that group of people. Amen. I don't even want to be remotely near that group of people. Because they think they're all right and they're lost as can be simply because they've not produced the product of repentance, being able to share their faith. Doesn't take rocket science. We just need to tell others about Jesus. It's amazing, that same account, and I'm trying to close. The person that did share their faith said, "Lord, when did I see you hungry? When did I see you naked? When did I see you in need? And when did I do those things?" He said, "Inasmuch as you did do it unto the least of these, you did it unto me." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Which side do you want to be on? This morning, I don't know about you, but I want to be ready for the Lord's return. And I need to be telling and touching others about Jesus so they too can find salvation. So they too can find help, hope, and healing. So they too can be ready for his return. How is your walk with the Lord? What group are you in? But one of those 3 groups are you in? Are you in right relationship with the Lord? Are you a transgressor? You've been with the Lord before, but you know there's things not right with the Lord. Are you a sinner that has never truly given their hearts to the Lord? Can I tell you, you can come to know Him today, or you can get back in right relationship with Him today. You don't have to wait. There's been those around this altar this morning that already have. But there's always room for more. Can you say amen? Amen. There's always room for more. Number two, do you know someone that needs Jesus? That God has laid upon your heart. God may have allowed you to cross their path for that very reason. So you can teach transgressors the ways of the Lord, and sinners can be converted unto Him. That's the product of repentance. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we thank You and we praise You. We magnify Your holy and precious name.